Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Jason.
Did you know that today we have an exclusive interview with The Flash?
Oh, my God.
I'm Sam Basher. It's close. I love The Flash, though. Not The Flash.
Oh, I guess that's okay.
That's almost as good.
Can we trick him into reviewing Flashpoint with us today, then?
Can we?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to.
Well, great. Then this geek history lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And this is the podcast, The Mind University, where we take one subject, one storyline from pop culture, and we explain it to you. And Ashley, what are we doing today?
Today we are doing the Flashpoint, the changer of worlds, the thing that is happening in season 3.
The Flash TV show. And we thought that we couldn't talk about this all on our own, so we wanted to bring a Flash expert with us to run across all this news. And today we have, who are you? You're not The Flash, right?
I'm not The Flash. It was a little disappointing, guys. I'm sorry.
Sam Basher of SourceFed Nerd, SourceFed and all kinds, and the Only Stupid Answers podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
All right. Now, real quick, when was the last time you read Flashpoint?
I read it a little bit this week, but I believe it was like 3 months ago when I finally committed and read through the main line story.
And that was the first time that you read it?
Yes.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hop right into the first section of our podcast. This is the 10 cent origin of Flashpoint. Flashpoint, of course, was published by DC Comics. It's, of course, was a limited series and an event. Its publication date was from May to September of 2011. And there were 5 issues, and the main characters were Flash, Batman, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Booster Gold in some events. It was written by Geoff Johns, and the artist was Andy Kubert. And lastly, of course, it launched the New 52 rebirth. Excuse me, can't talk. At DC Comics. So next, we're going to move into the next section of the podcast. What's that, Ashley?
That is the meet cute, which is a term that we stole from romantic comedy writing, where we tell you the first time we met this character and how cute it was.
Yes, and for today's meet cute, I think we're going to talk to Sam about how he met the Flash. Sam, I'm very curious, where did you first encounter the Flash? Where do you remember first? Was it a cartoon? Did you read him? And also, which Flash did you encounter?
Ooh, first Flash I encountered was Wally West from the Justice League animated series.
Heck,
that was what,
yeah,
I watched as a kid, and it scared the crap out of me.
Wally West scared you?
Justice League, the first episode where the Martians invaded and they had the shape-shifting, like, oh my God, this is terrifying. And I couldn't stop. I took a break for a little bit, then I came back and watched the whole series when I was a kid, mm-hmm, loved it. And I always would defend the Flash when I was a kid, because like, all he could do is run around. He's like, no, he could do other stuff. But it's like, yeah, his main thing's the running, but like, he's amazing.
So we're now in the golden age of your nerddom, because you're like, I don't have to explain the Flash anymore.
Yes, everyone loves him now. Everybody loves him. But yeah, that was the first time I encountered him. And then once the Flash TV show was going to come out, I was like, I got to commit. I got to get into comics. So I started picking up New 52, like volume 1, volume 2 of The Flash, and then I started moving through it. And that was the beginning of my addiction to comics now. So,
nice. Mm-hmm.
Who
nice.
Is your preferred Flash in the collection of speedsters?
I am now getting into more Wally West runs, but still Barry Allen is my
Barry
boy.
Allen, yeah.
He's my boy.
Interesting. Well, cool. All right. So we're going to hop right into the main section of this podcast. And since this is about an event, what we're going to do is we're going to break down each issue of Flashpoint, and then we're going to talk about it. And then at the very end, we're going to talk about what I think is the best miniseries of Flash. Flashpoint, mm-hmm, the Batman Knights of Vengeance miniseries written by Brian Azzarello. Okay, so if you have not read Flashpoint, there are spoilers from this point forward. We are going to be breaking this crazy, but it came out in 2011, 5 years ago. So
yeah. Spoiler alert is lifted.
Yes. All right. So let's hop into issue 1, and here's a description of what happens in issue 1. After an origin recap, Barry Allen wakes up and he finds out that he has no speed's powers as he trips down some stairs. And then he finds out that his mom is still alive. Now, why is that a shocker, Ashley?
Well, because his mom is usually not alive.
Oh, that's true. That's a shocker. We then see Batman try to kill a criminal and Cyborg stops him. And then Cyborg tries to recruit Batman to save the world. And we find out that Wonder Woman's Amazons have conquered the British Isles and Aquaman's Atlanteans have sunk the rest of Western Europe. And the battle between them has caused massive of death and destruction. Batman says no to Cyborg. He says, screw off, Cyborg. And Barry Allen breaks into Wayne Manor, only find out that Batman isn't Bruce, but actually Thomas Wayne. All right, now, as an issue one, Sam, mm-hmm. how do you think, what did you think of issue one of Flashpoint?
It pulled me in. It was very interesting. And also, there were, when I was reading this, I was still just getting into comics. So mm-hmm. when they are on the rooftop in Batman, or Cyborg's trying to recruit Batman, and they introduce all these characters, I was like, okay, hold on a second. And then I went and read like the afterword that with like the illustrations for each individual character.
Oh,
like,
and some of them,
some are original characters and some are just redesigns of older ones. And
because there are a lot of secondary and tertiary characters. Yeah. They're not kind of your main Justice League staples.
Yeah, you had the Outsider, but he was redone and then he came back in New 52. Yeah. Spoilers. But it definitely pulled me in and it kept me really interested. Since I saw the movie before I saw this, I was like, I'll pretend to be surprised by everything that's happening.
Yeah. You're like, all right, no Thomas Wayne's Batman. How about you, Ashley?
I think this is a really solid first issue, and I think that it sets these the quality level for this event very high. I don't think all the issues live up to it, unfortunately. I do think that post-Brexit, if Wonder Woman took over the UK, that might not be the worst thing that ever happened.
Wow.
no offense burn. To our English listeners. And I think the Wonder Woman, the Thomas Wayne reveal is really, really cool, and that's something that to me is like one of the most interesting facets that's introduced in this miniseries.
You know what really stuck out to me? What really stuck out to me is how come all the damage is happening in Europe?
Yeah,
because it's written by an American.
I know, but like,
it's easier.
Yeah. I mean, if Aquaman sunk Australia. Would we care?
I think it feels more tragic because if you look at the creative team, they're all like, you know, white North American people. And when you think about like where all the history is and where all like the cool monuments are, like it would be a real shame if Western Europe went down.
It was, but it's interesting that England didn't sink. Everything else, they're like, that's fine. That can sink. We can live without that stuff.
Yeah, Big Ben is still standing.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say that I also thought it was intriguing. I think it was a good choice by Geoff Johns to set the two royal members of the Justice League against each other. Mm-hmm. Also to kind of elaborate that in this no Superman world, they're not calm. Like they both give in to their baser instincts and go after each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think for me, I saw the cartoon. I actually read this month to month. I picked up these issues. I remember this was about a year after I moved to LA and these issues were coming out. I was going to my comic shop and picking them up. So I did not know about the Thomas Wayne being Batman. And at the time, they kept that very secret.
Wow.
They did not tell you. So, like, that last page reveal of Thomas Wayne being revealed as Batman was like a hammer to the face. It was a big deal. It was huge because I remember everybody at the time was guessing so many different people.
Yeah.
Like, everybody actually, I remember at the time on the internet was saying Dick Grayson.
That would have been a good choice.
That would
have been
cool. Like, so people didn't know that. No. People knew it was not Bruce Wayne.
Everybody knew it wasn't Bruce Wayne, but nobody knew who it was.
That's very cool.
So, like, that reveal, now that Thomas Wayne is Batman, because of this story, is kind of like, everybody does it. Like, Earth 2 did it, something like that. But at the time,
it was a very original idea.
It was a very original idea, except for the first Batman story back from the 70s.
But yes. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So let's move into issue 2. Two of Flashpoint. Now, in issue 2, we see the flooded remains of Paris and Deathstroke Slade Wilson. He captains a pirate ship in search of his daughter. Emperor Aquaman appears and stabs
Emperor Aquaman.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he stabs Deathstroke in the chest and attacks Deathstroke's crew, which is made up of Sonar, Icicle, and Clayface. Sonar is able to remove a piece of the trident from Deathstroke's chest and heal him. And then at Wayne Manor, Barry tries to explain to Thomas about his secret identity, his relationship to Bruce Wayne. Barry's memories start going crazy. We find out that inside the Flash ring, Eobard Thawne's reverse Flash costume is there, which is the first setup of Barry's like, oh, Eobard Thawne's changing history. Mm. And Barry decides to recreate the accident that gave him his powers in a bid to undo the damage caused by Eobard Thawne. And his initial attempt is to sit in an electric chair on the roof in a lightning storm, and he gets shocked by lightning and he just burns. And that's where the issue ends. Ashley, I heard you sigh.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this issue?
I have two things. The first time I read this this event, I think was in like 2013, and I didn't know who Eobard Thawne was. Mm-hmm. I knew like who the Reverse Flash was, but I was like, Eobard is a terrible name. Why would you ever name anyone that? And now it's a name that I actually really like. It's something that I really appreciate about the design of that character. I'm not a huge Barry Allen fan, and this choice for me just proves that Barry's kind of an idiot. Like, it's like the stupidest thing you could ever do, and then he suffers for it, which I think from a dramatic storytelling standpoint is a really interesting thing to do, that it doesn't go off well the first time.
Yeah.
But like every time it happens, I'm just like, Barry, like, what the expletive are you doing right now?
Sam, how about you? Did you think? I'm with Ashley.
Uh-huh.
I actually thought him going on the roof, sitting in an electric chair.
When Batman tells you it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, but Batman doesn't know. It was like an accident last time. I was like, no, it would be better because I'm planning. I enjoyed it because it really cemented that this world is hell. And it is absolute hell because it's like the nicest dude. He's one of the nicest dudes. Besides the fact that he just broke the entire planet and all of the universe and timeline, whatever the fuck. But he just... is so, it's cemented that this is so depressing. So I enjoyed it. So
this, you thought this issue cemented that Flashpoint world is depressing as hell.
Yeah.
For me, of the five issues, this is the issue that I think you can cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could cut this issue out, and I kind of think the Flashpoint should only be four issues. This is my problem, because nothing happens in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barry goes up to the roof, tries to get new powers. He doesn't. Destro gets stabbed in the chest. I feel that's something that we could overhear because Deathstroke's not a main character.
I do love Pirate Deathstroke, though.
That's true. He is pretty fun.
He looks really cool.
That is true. And Emperor Aquaman is something that I think he had his own miniseries. So did Deathstroke. They both had their own miniseries. That stuff could be in the miniseries. But besides Barry just opening the ring and seeing the Eobard Thawne costume, nothing happens in this
you
issue.
You could put that into another issue.
You could.
And the ending, though, I was just thinking it's like a cautionary tale for kids who don't want to, who are like, oh, that's fun. The Flash got struck by lightning. I'll run outside. It's like, no, this is what happens.
Don't.
No,
yeah.
Don't.
I think that's interesting because I agree that this could be a four issue miniseries, but this is not the issue that I would have cut.
Really?
I will tell you when we get to it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on into issue three. In issue three, we're in London. Steve Trevor is waiting at a rendezvous.
You're not going to read it all as Michael Caine?
No. Steve Trevor is waiting at a rendezvous, for Lois Lane and is attacked by Wonder Woman and the Amazons. Wonder Woman catches him by the neck in her lasso of truth and begins interrogating him. And he explains that he was hired to extract Lois Lane from New Themyscira because she is there to gather information for Cyborg. The U.S. president informs Cyborg, this is President Obama, by the way,
yes,
that Steve Trevor and his signal to the resistance was intercepted and there must be a traitor among his group. Meanwhile, we find that Lois Lane encounters the resistance led by Grifter, and then Barry Allen tries a second, he decides to go back up on that roof and gets shocked again, and he concludes, he gets his powers, and he concludes that Reverse Flash has changed history to prevent the formation of the Justice League. He also learns that Kal-El was taken prisoner by the government, and with Cyborg, they go find a weakened Superman at the project, and they realize that he has been inside his containment cell since he was a child, possibly never even seen a human again, or even seeing the sun. And after being rescued, they get outside and Superman flies off and leaves them to fight a bunch of guards. All right.
So why don't you start out, since we're going around Robin, and tell us what you thought about this issue, this third issue of Flashpoint.
Listen, you can retell Superman's origin in 70 different ways, and I will read it every single time. That's my guy. I actually thought that this was intriguing. I thought the idea that Superman's a weakling and a coward in this universe is very very cool. I do think this is probably one of the more realistic ways that if Superman was a real being and he actually came to Earth,
I agree.
The government would just capture him and then throw a red light on him.
Yeah.
And he would never develop. Because if you ever let him develop his powers,
there's no way to contain him.
There's no way to contain him. Yeah. And I also think that like he sees the sun and he goes towards it like a mosquito to a light, I think is very funny.
I loved it in the issue, but also kind of in the animated series, that he can't speak a lot. Because like you said, he's probably never seen a person, so he's never learned to talk or know any social skills whatsoever. So him flying away is perfect because it's like, I don't know what to do. So if I can fly, I'll get out of here as quickly as I can.
I do love that they give him the spit curl, though, even when he's like really reduced and sad.
Yeah, and I like the new design of his S.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you think about this issue, Ashley?
My favorite thing about this issue is actually Cyborg, because as you will know from some of our past lessons, Teen Titans is super near and dear to my heart. And this is pre-Cyborg joining the Justice League, but it's right on the precipice of that. So you really get to see him come into his own as a hero. And I like that he is able to go toe-to-toe with Batman, and everybody listens to him because he knows best. So that's like my favorite thing. I think that there's so much that goes on in this issue, it could almost have been broken up into two issues.
Yeah. And I agree with you too. Like, I really like that this is I think this is a little bit of Geoff Johns making Cyborg as part of the Justice League mm-hmm. a little bit more palatable, because mm-hmm. at this point it hadn't happened yet.
No, he's strictly been sidekick Teen Titans guy.
Yeah, totally. All right, so let's drop into issue 4. In issue 4, the team is rescued by Element Woman. Flash's memories continue to change, and the president calls up Cyborg again. The President Obama in this is kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I didn't really need him.
He has Cyborg on speed dial. How cool is that? Come on.
But he calls him up, and he's like, "Cyborg, you messed up again." Cyborg, you are not doing so good. You know?
Who do you think Biden has on speed dial?
I'm going to say Captain Marvel Jr.
Ooh, there you go. I believe that.
But at this point, he's part of the Shazam. Like, he's part of the... So he's actually like 1%. So, yeah.
S exclamation point, H exclamation point.
I'm going to say the Tiger, the Captain Marvel Tiger.
That's Tawny the Tiger, man.
Couldn't remember his name. So basically, Flash, Batman, Cyborg, and Element 1 break into the Marvel family's home, ask them for help. Batman asks Billy to use his lightning to prevent Flash's memories from changing even further, and they decide to transform into Captain Thunder, and they go to Europe, and they fight Wonder Woman. Captain Thunder fights Wonder Woman until Enchantress reveals herself as the Amazonian spy and basically kicks the Marvel family's ass. And then in the wake of the destruction, they're all having a big fighty-fighty, and Eobard Thawne appears in front of the Flash and says, "Look what you did, Barry."
BT-dubs, mm-hmm. Where was this Enchantress costume in the Suicide Squad movie?
Yeah.
Because it is one of my favorites that she's ever in.
Oh, you just like it when she's just a green witch?
I do.
Oh, yeah, with the hat. Oh, I love
totally.
The hat. It's so classic. Gotta say, really didn't like the Enchantress twist. I'm like, I didn't care. It didn't add anything whatsoever. Now that we're thinking about going through issue by issue, issue 2 could have just taken a bit of issue 3 and throw that over and spread it out a little bit, and that would have been a much more balanced like 5-issue run. But this, it was really fun to see all these heroes going up against each other. I love the idea of the Shazam being a bunch of the kids and making Captain Thunder. That was really fun. I kind of wanted more Superman in this story, even though, of course, Superman's been around forever. But it would have been fun to see skinny Superman like trying to like fumble around and understand things in the world. But I was fine without him. But yeah, again, Enchantress didn't need to. I didn't need that twist.
Not at all.
I did like the implication of the past relationship between Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and that she is wearing Mara's helmet. Like, that's cold, man.
Yeah.
That's super cold.
I think the Andy Kubert design of Wonder Woman
amazing.
In this story. I actually think most of the designs of the Flashpoint universe, I think, is really, really solid.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And I actually think that the last page of Eobard Thawne showing up in this giant splash page for me is actually one of my favorite pages of the entire series. Just because, I mean, Andy Kubert can draw anything.
I do also want to say that I love Element Woman. I'm not a metamorpho person, but this incarnation is so adorable. And the fact that she's maybe a little bit unhinged, I think, is just really fun to read.
I'm glad that she got brought over to the New 52. For just for like a second, and then Doom Patrol.
She should have been used more.
She's a great addition to Doom Patrol.
I think that's what I thought Flashpoint was going to set up, was her being used more, and I kind of was disappointed by the New 52 barely touching her.
Yeah, and she had like a New 52, I kind of remember, just to digress for a second, but she had like a car that was like designed kind of like her too, which I always thought was really fun.
Man, if they made like an action figure of that, I would totally buy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the final issue. In the final issue, the Reverse Flash reveals that the Flash himself created the Flashpoint timeline by traveling back in time to stop the Reverse Flash from killing Barry's mother. According to Thawne, these actions transform Barry into a living paradox, no longer requiring Barry to exist, and that Eobard Thawne doesn't even need Barry to exist so that he can actually kill the Flash and it doesn't matter. Thawne continues to taunt Barry until Batman kills Thawne with an Amazonian sword. Superman shows up, aids the heroes, basically saves the day, and now that Flash knows the point of divergence, the Flash enters the time stream, and a dying Thomas thanks him for giving his son a second chance and gives him a letter addressed. Traveling back in time, Barry merges with his earlier self, I don't know how, during an attempt to stop Thawne, and while traveling through time, Barry sees three different timelines: the DC New Earth, Vertigo Earth 13, and Wildstorm Earth 50. And a hooded figure, who is later revealed to be Pandora, tells him that the world has been split into three to weaken them for an impending threat, and they must be reunited to combat it. They merge together, the new 52 universe creates, and the world is basically rebooted, except that Barry sort of remembers the pre-New 52 until at the end of the storyline he kind of forgets it. He goes and visits Batman, he gives him the letter from his father, and Batman cries. And that is the end of Flashpoint. So, Sam, issue 5, satisfactory conclusion to Flashpoint.
I liked it. Yeah. I appreciated it. It was the entire twist, laying it out. It was an amazing twist. I don't know. I would like to know from you, what was it like being a reader, like, during all of this? Did you see it coming? Was it leaked ahead of time that Barry was behind it all? Or did you kind of have a feeling?
It wasn't. It was not leaked at all. You knew that this was somehow going to set up the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know exactly how. I kind of figured that it was going to be some sort of reset. Like, from issue 1, I was like, oh, he's going to try to fix the timeline back, and it's not going to go back right. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say I was completely surprised by the combination of the Wildstorm and the Vertigo universes into this universe. Mm. And Pandora showing up was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I will say it was a little weird. But now that we're DC Rebirth, mm-hmm. and I had forgotten about this whole idea of Pandora saying that there's a threat out there and you have to combine to save the threat. And so I'm kind of like, I wonder if Geoff Johns at the time knew that he wanted to do something, but didn't know it was Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that we're at DC Rebirth, we're realizing that it's Watchmen. I don't know. Ashley, the conclusion, what do you think?
This is the issue I would cut.
Wow.
And I know that the entire... I hate this conclusion. I hate it so much.
Why? Really? Why? Why?
I know that the whole conceit of this series is to set up New 52, so like you have to have something
is that,
like
that
this
what you hate about it?
Happen. No, I don't hate that about it. Okay. I don't hate the New 52. I hate that by revealing that it's Barry Allen, you make him just a giant crybaby who is completely... has no regard for anyone else's safety, for their sanity, for the fabric of his own universe. He's going to do what he wants and, like, screw everybody else. And also...
and screw the time.
Space-time continuum. And also, and we're going to get real personal here, as someone who had a parent pass away during their childhood, for me, it rings super false that you're still... basing all of your actions and interactions on that, like, some 30 years later. So for me, it doesn't work on an emotional level. Mm. It doesn't work on a storytelling level. And I just, like, I think it's so stupid.
No.
I just think it's so dumb. And I don't disrespect anybody who likes it. I don't necessarily think that it's not the worst DC event ever. And it's not the worst excuse to, like, launch a new universe out of it. But, like, I was reading it and I was like, oh, I like this a lot more than why don't I recommend this book to people? And then I got to the final issue and I was like, that's why.
Did you read it when it was coming out?
I did not.
Because I know you read the New 52 when it came out. Like
I did. I started right there, but I never read a Flash series that wasn't about Bart Allen or Wally West. Barry Allen was never my jam, so I was just like, oh, I don't need to read that. And then I worked at a comic book store in 2013, and they were like, you should probably read all the major events because that's what everyone's going to ask you about.
I appreciated the scene with him and his mom. Like, even though it made no sense, and they're like, oh, Lightning Rod, here's a reason why you can go back in time without the cosmic treadmill, which has always been like a weird thing whenever I like try to read upon the Flash, but I'm like, yeah, I'll accept it for being part of its history, like,
comics.
Canon. It's comics, exactly. But I appreciated that scene because it was like trying to fight with, I don't know, I like the emotional tone of it.
You know, actually, I think the best emotional scene in this entire book and the movie is the letter to Bruce.
Yeah.
I like that moment a lot. Yeah.
Like that to me, it's weird that I think all the Batman stuff of Flashpoint is what stands above and beyond the rest, because twisting it to make it Thomas Wayne and also that Thomas Wayne gets to write a letter to Bruce Wayne, is kind of amazing, I think.
I will say, though, that I think it's some janky continuity that that letter is allowed to survive the time and space gobbledygook that's going on. But again, like,
even though his costume changes.
Right, but even but for a narrative reason, it's really nice. But I'm like, I'm pretty sure by the comic booky logic of this that that's not really possible.
Well, let's now that we've gotten through, we've described the entire series. As a whole, do we think, and Sam, we'll start with you, do you think this is a good DC miniseries, and would you recommend it to people?
I would recommend it to people. I am now, as like I said, I'm still getting into comics. By far, like, the crossover events for DC, the ones I've read, Forever Evil is tops, because that was so much fun to read. This is second. So I would tell people to go and read it. If you want a fun story with Batman, who's prominent in the story, you want to learn more about The Flash a little bit and see different takes of heroes that you know a little bit about, have fun. Go read it.
Ashley? Yeah.
I would recommend this to a very specific kind of reader. I don't generally recommend events because I think events are a mess and usually not worth your time because they're usually for some publication purpose. Like, oh, we're going to reset the universe, or oh, we're going to bring in a new whoever. I think this is a good story if you are a Barry Allen person or if you're looking to learn more about The Flash and the history of The Flash. It's probably his most powerful event. I would recommend this to people who want an alternate take on Batman. But other than that, like, if you're just like, what's a great Justice League event or what's a great DC event, it doesn't break my top five, personally.
Interesting. It's tough. I think it's a good miniseries if you can kind of ignore the last 5 to 10 pages.
Really?
Well, because to me, I mean, I always have people recommend, like, they're like, well, what stories, if I want to read The Flash, what do I read? If I want to read Batman, what do I read? I don't think I would recommend this because I think by having those last 10 pages, you confuse a brand new reader with all the gobbledygook of the New 52.
It is very comic book.
Yeah. But without that, it's kind of a fun alternate world tale. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool, you know? And I don't know, like, there's a lot of fun stuff in the storyline. And I think it's a fun Flash story. It being tied to continuity is, I think, its weaknesses.
Would you recommend it more than the original Flash Rebirth event?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. Now, here's the other question that I wanted to ask both of you. This was the launching point for the New 52. Mm-hmm. Now, it's this series and basically Crisis on Infinite Earths. Those two miniseries are the launchers into a new established DC universe. As that, and Ashley, let's start with you. Was this a good launching point for the New 52?
I think this is a fine launching point for the New 52. In my opinion, I don't think you need an in continuity reason as to why you're rebooting. Like, just reboot it. We all know it's coming. We all know they're getting new costumes. We all know they're getting slightly new. Like, I don't need a story reason for why this is all happening. But I think if you are someone who wants that, I think this event does it pretty well. And I think that by giving that responsibility to not a member of the Trinity, it's a nice way to expand the DC universe and show that Flash is a really important character. Cyborg is a really important character, and they're very much looked at as secondary characters within, like, your Justice League confines.
Sam, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's just fine. I really appreciate for setting up this entire universe because it, as me coming in as a newer reader, it was nice that, like, here's the point from then on that I get to learn for the first time for all these characters. So like I said, I'd recommend it for people, and I did enjoy it.
I don't think it was a good launching point for the New 52. I think it's a great story. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good Flash story. I totally think, I'm totally glad it was published. I just think it should have been published at a different point because a couple years earlier, DC to me published the perfect miniseries to relaunch their universe, and it's called Final Crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, well, one, it's called Final.
And it will never be a Final Crisis.
And then it's also a crisis, which would also hint back. But there is a scene in the final issue of Final Crisis where the entire universe is unmade by Darkseid, by the anti-life equation.
It makes me wonder, though, if that was where they intended to do a relaunch, and then for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. It didn't pass muster.
Yeah, exactly, because in that, the way Superman rebuilds the universe is because he has this super machine from the 31st century called the Miracle Machine. And it's said that whoever presses the button to relaunch the universe gets to remake the universe. And that's how they explain how Batman survives, or how Batman's brought back to life, is because Superman remakes the universe. And
he wants Batman.
And he wants Batman. He wants his best friend back into it.
Of course. Yeah.
And to me, that's the perfect point to relaunch your universe. Mm-hmm. Like, the universe was destroyed and rebuilt. It's a crisis. And also,
yeah, but if you have Superman remake it, it's going to be like real nice and no one's going to need superheroes.
Everyone's a Boy Scout.
No. Because Superman's a farm boy and he knows that life is tough. Okay. We're not in the Silver Age anymore. But I also think that's meaningful because Superman's first superhero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
how many years is it between Final Crisis and Flashpoint?
I think two.
I'm two gonna, or three.
I think two or three, because I think Final Crisis is either 2009 or 2008.
That sounds right.
I feel like it's 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when did Dick Grayson start as Batman?
Yeah. But also, Final Crisis was the setup for the miniseries that we just got, the Multiversity.
Yes, it was.
But because they actually, Grant Morrison gave all the scripts for the Multiversity after Final Crisis. Mm-hmm. And it took some of those artists this long to draw it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, just crazy. Like, so just goes to show you. I love Final Crisis. A lot of people don't. But I think that would have been the better setup for the New 52 than Flashpoint.
Do you think Flashpoint is an acceptable second?
Yeah.
If we can't have Final Crisis?
If you can't give it to a crisis, giving it to the Flash makes sense. Mm-hmm. So now let's move on to season 3 of the Flash TV show. The finale, season 2, ended with Barry going back in time and saving his mother and resetting the timeline. Let's go to you, Flash expert, Mr. Sam. What do you think, from the comic book of Flashpoint, the TV show will take?
None of it.
Yeah?
Not even. Besides his mom being alive, that's it. Because they can't. And I don't like saying, I don't like going negative, but like they really can't. And we've even seen a trailer of season 3, and it's looking very happy. His world is amazing.
Yeah, Cisco is like a billionaire now.
I would say this would be a really interesting way to get Batman on the Flash and in that universe that will have absolutely no repercussions anywhere else.
That universe that now has Superman.
Yes. Well, we don't really know.
Like multiverse, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's a Superman on another world out there, so there could be a Batman on another world.
They could pull it together, though. Like, that would be.
I don't think they're going to do that.
They probably won't.
See, I really think they're going to do that.
Really? It doesn't feel like something that people would fully understand. That, like, because in Supergirl, when we were watching it last season, they said, like, oh, there's a central city on Earth, but there's no Flash there. So it's like, so if they brought him over, or you'd have to explain that Superman's been around this entire time.
You'd have to explain, where has Superman been in the Arrowverse for 5 years now?
So I feel like it's just gonna, like, you might see an alternate version of Oliver again, because we've already seen one in Legends Tomorrow. You might see an alternate version of Harrison Wells. Maybe he's not, maybe the Harrison Wells of that Earth hasn't been killed. Like, that could be kind of fun to see. There are a couple, actually he should, because if Eobard was stopped back like 15 years ago. Also question, if you guys have seen the trailer. Has Eobard been in that cage for 15 years?
Who knows?
Because that's a horrible thing that Barry's done. That's awful.
You know, I actually think that the one thing that will translate, I think there were two things. I think you nailed something with Harrison Wells. I think Harrison Wells is going to be our Thomas Wayne character.
That'd be fun.
In this. I don't know what that means, whether he's a vigilante or whether, I think they're going to flip the Harrison Wells character completely. And it's going to be the Earth One Harrison Wells. Sure.
I have a theory. Because in the, again, I dissected the trailer as much as I could. Dr. Alchemy is like teased as like a big bad. Does that seem like a Harrison Wells kind of person? Because he hasn't been shown in the trailer.
That'd be cool.
And if he doesn't have Star Labs anymore, or he never did, and Cisco took over, that kind of seems like the natural way to take his character.
It could be. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I think you're going to find out that he's like a different supervillain, because Harrison Wells is like sort of their chameleon.
He is.
Yeah.
He is very much.
The other thing that I think you're going to find out is, I think they are going to take a piece of the Europe storyline. I think you're going to find out that there's some section of the world that is in ruins or destroyed because there was no Flash in this world, or there was no, or Reverse Flash didn't get to kill somebody or do something that caused like a whole region to fall into this bloody war.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. It would have been, the stakes would be bigger than just what him messing up Central City.
Well, I also think that because that would flip a little bit on Barry, because it would be like, oh, because I didn't let this bad guy murder someone, millions are murdered.
You know? The question of the greater good.
Yeah, who's the true bad guy? Then?
I just thought it was like really adorable when they let Grant Gustin announce that they were doing Flashpoint on Twitter, because I was like, you've done it twice already.
Yeah.
But now it's official. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about, we talked a little bit about Batman, but let's talk about Flashpoint was this whole event. And they had like a whole bunch of series that had like three issues. They had a Superman series. They had a Lois Lane and the Resistance series. That's awesome. Go read it. They had a Pirate Deathstroke series. They had a Dead Man series. They had a Nightwing. They had all this kind of stuff. But the best one was Batman and the Night of Vengeance by Brian Azzarello. Now, really quickly, let me tell you about this. Okay, Thomas Wayne Batman works with Jim Gordon, the chief of police of Gotham's privatized police, who is aware of his identity. Oswald Cobblepot is a security chief, mainly handling the casinos of Thomas Wayne while Batman fights crime. The local judge is Harvey Dent. And later you learn that Gordon calls Batman and tries to convince him that he does not have to fight villains alone. And without Batman's help, Gordon tries to stop the Joker once and for all, but is trapped and is killed. And the Joker is then revealed to be Martha Wayne, driven insane by the grief of her son's murder. Batman can't bring himself to kill the Joker, even though in this universe he kills people, because he feels responsible. And he reveals during this that he promises the Joker, that he says to the Joker, he's like, hey, I've learned of this Flash guy. There's some stuff I can change. We can save our son. And the Joker asks, well, what happens to our son? And she figures out that her son also becomes Batman. And she hysterically flees from Batman and falls to her death in the same hole that Bruce Wayne once fell into as a child and found out about the bats. Now, quick thoughts about this, guys. What did we think about this miniseries?
I loved it.
It's great, and that's why they crib it for the animated movie. Like, this is a huge
There's a quick shot of it in the movie.
You meet Martha, and you see that she's the Joker and everything. I think it's a really creative idea also to make her the Joker, and I think that in the first issue, they do a really good job, like, with her coat and the way they draw her face to hide that it's a female Joker. And then, of course, even if you know that, you would immediately think Harley Quinn, I think, before you would think Martha. I like Selina's inclusion as Oracle. I think it's really sad, actually. And this is an Elseworlds tale that I would love to see revisited by a writer.
Oh, really?
I do. I want more of this universe. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I would actually love to see, you brought up a point, I would love to see the Flashpoint universe as one of the worlds in the multiverse.
I bet it is.
But yeah. No, it's not. Because of the whole reset worth one timeline.
But isn't there also like seven Earths that we don't know what they are?
That's true.
There are. Could be out there. Only seven.
Now, Sam, did you read this just for the podcast, or had you read it before?
Just for the podcast, because I read Flashpoint, and while I did enjoy it, I was a little hurt after Blackest Night, because I was like, I'm going to read everything that this event has. It was exhausting, and I was like, nah, I can't do that for Flashpoint. So I read it for the podcast. I enjoyed every moment of it. It was an amazing Batman storyline, because I'm now deciding to get into Batman. I just read Batman Black Mirror with Dick Grayson. Amazing storyline. But this was also fun. I love the take on the Joker. I love that Jim Gordon, there's something about him that's a little different in this world. He's a little sadder, a little more lonely, and I appreciate that. Selena's reveal was really fun. And it was one of the scarier Joker storylines I've read.
Yeah.
Especially because I've never seen him mess, or the Joker identity mess with kids before. And I'm like, oh man, this is one of the worst Joker stories I've read. So
cool. Cool. Mm-hmm. Does this make you want to check out any of the other Flashpoint series?
Yes. I want to check out a few. You said Lois Lane.
Lois Lane is good. Mm-hmm. Superman is good. The Abin Sur one is good.
Okay.
It's really interesting if you like Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah. Me too, yeah.
But I would say most of the Flashpoint miniseries are skip-ems.
I would say that's most event.
Yeah.
There's like one good Civil War tie-in.
Yeah. Same with Blackest Night. For Blackest Night, the ones I remember liking on that one is I like the Superman one. I like the Batman and Robin one.
That was good.
And then I think I like the Titans one, because
I like the Titans one.
Tara came back to life in that.
Tara and Jericho come back.
But like the rest of them are kind of like, yeah. Oh, and the Booster Gold tie-in was great.
Oh, with Ted Kord. Yeah,
because Ted Kord comes back to life.
Oh, you said Booster Gold was a main point in Flashpoint.
Yes. So if you don't know, Booster Gold. So as they were doing Flashpoint, most of the regular DC series ended. So they just stopped, or they let them publish like one or two issues. Booster Gold's book kept publishing, and Booster Gold got hit by the time wave of Barry Allen. And he lives in the Flashpoint world. So him and Barry Allen are the only two characters from the pre-New 52 that experience Flashpoint.
That's so cool.
And then he zaps out at the last moment before Barry resets the universe again. And he's at Vanishing Point when Barry resets the New 52. And so the New 52 happens, and there's a Booster Gold in that series. And you're like, well, who is this guy? Is that our Booster Gold? Does he remember the pre-New 52? You find out that that's not the Booster Gold from the pre-New 52. That Booster Gold also shows up, and he's older and he's wiser. And he, so there's now two versions of Booster Gold.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And the older Booster Gold like calls his younger self into kind of an asshole and stuff like that.
Well, that's his whole deal.
And, then, and then something happens to the older Booster Gold in Convergence that I actually think is really cool.
Okay.
So
I have to remember, because I read Convergence too, but I, that series really didn't stick with me whatsoever.
Booster Gold is now one of these weird characters in this New 52 world that I think that they don't know what to do with him yet, because he is your anchor back to the previous continuity.
Ooh. But Rebirth, I think, and the conceit of Rebirth is a perfect way to reintroduce him in a really meaningful way.
Yeah. I also kind of think that they're waiting on Booster Gold, because I have a feeling that we're either going to get some Booster Gold news for Legends, or we're going to get some Booster Gold news for a movie.
I also think,
and I think they're waiting for that.
He's going to show up in a supporting capacity in the Blue Beetle series.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Blue and Gold back together.
The Booster Gold, I think, issues are collected in one of the graphic novels, but they're actually a lot of fun. They're great because it's nice to have another character that knows that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
very cool.
I would track those down as well. And speaking of that, we're just gonna recommend our recommended reading, which you can get at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended-reading. Of course, the Flashpoint trade, which collects the 5 issues. Of course, you can find it there. And of course, the Batman tale that we were talking about is collected in this trade called the Flashpoint World of Flashpoint Batman, and you can find those over at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended-reading. Click on those links to Amazon. A little bit comes back to the Mayan University and helps keep us teachers not eating ramen noodles all the time. So there you go. Really quickly, Sam, before we leave, we were talking a little bit about how we think Flashpoint's going to affect season 3 of The Flash. What do you want to see the most in season 3 of The Flash?
I want to see the creators of the show take risks. I want them to, even if it doesn't make sense to a normal viewer, I want that. I want something. I want them to introduce something completely fresh. And this happens in a lot of shows where they make a new timeline and then they have to reset it, obviously, but things have changed. I want to see more than just one remnant come over to like the continued timeline. Like, a show that I really like is Warehouse 13. Did you guys ever watch that?
I've watched parts of it.
It's amazing. And they did have a season where they actually did a very similar storyline, and their main villain for the rest of the season was somebody that was pulled over from a deleted timeline. So it'd be fun to see. I want them to really expand his rogues gallery, which would be great. I'd love to see Mirror Master show up, because
I want Mirror Master on that show so bad.
More than anything.
Yeah. Scottish Mirror Master?
I would love, if we're having kind of a convergence type event with Flashpoint, to have Gorilla City, because Gorilla Grodd's just stuck over on Earth 2, and I don't know what we're going to do with that exactly. And bring Jessie Quick back, because I want her to get like a costume.
And be a speedster,
Speedster. Mm.
Yeah. How about you, Ashley? What do you want to see in season 3?
No Caitlin Snow ever again.
Whoa. I actually,
Arrow got rid of Black Canary, so I can dream.
I actually think that this is how they're going to make her Killer Frost.
If she was Killer Frost, I could live with that. I just think the Caitlin Snow character is so neutered from what she was in the comics, and she's just like sad and boring all the time. So, and Danielle Panabaker is really great as Killer Frost, so I would love, even if she's like good, like if she's like Hero Frost or whatever, like that would be really great. Just like not mopey, not sad. I really want to see not a speedster villain, not a foot race for the finale, because we've seen that twice and it was done really, really well once and then really shoddily the second time. And I want Teddy Sears to be brought back in some capacity, because I think he's a really great actor. He interacts really well with the cast, and I think that what they wound up doing with his character in the second season was sort of wasteful. So all my wants and needs are like very specific to
wasteful
on the Flash.
Yes, because they combined like 5 different Flash characters into his. Like, he's like Black Flash, he's Zoom. He's Jay. He is the rival.
He's Hunter Zolomon.
He's Hunter Zolomon. He's a lot.
And he's and he's good enough that you're like, well, I guess I'm along for the ride.
Yeah.
But well, like, what must learning these lines be like?
I'm with Sam. I want to see if we knuckle down on Flashpoint, let's have it matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm worried right now that it's only going to last for like 5 episodes.
You
and
mean
then
like it, the last time they reset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's reset.
Yeah.
Mm. And I just worry that it's going to have no impact.
Mm.
Or that we're gonna do it like Star Trek and we're going to immediately reset it back to the first, you know,
the
beginning. And I don't want that. Like if you're knuckled down on this, commit.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to combine the Supergirl. I think Supergirl is still going to stay over the other world.
Mm.
I think the changes are all going to be minor. Mm-hmm. I really do, because I don't think they're going to affect Arrow that much. I think Arrow is going to have like one effect.
Well, he'll get a new costume. And
yeah.
And whoever's contract is up won't come back.
And Laurel's coming back to life.
Yeah.
Too bad. Cool. Too bad. She's coming. I heard she got some kind of contract. Kate Cassidy got something.
I heard
she's going to appear in the other show.
I heard that she's going to be part of the Legion of Doom as that villain, as that
Black Siren.
Is what she's going to be. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be completely wrong. That was sort of mentioned around Comic-Con. But I want it to have an effect. I want it to have an impact. And I think like making Caitlin Killer Frost mm-hmm. would be a great, because otherwise I don't see how you make her Killer Frost, because I don't buy it from that character.
Yeah.
So and I want, oh man, I don't know. I want Barry to be done with changing things through time travel.
Yeah.
I want him to actually have to deal with these consequences, because it was mm-hmm. a really dumb thing that he did. It was like,
and he did it for no reason.
No reason whatsoever. Yeah. It wasn't even. I can't even call it selfish, because it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you getting out of this?
Nothing.
Can't understand. Exactly. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I don't understand.
Well, and they keep revisiting the beat with his mother, and it's like, man, you've done this like again 2 or 3 times now. If you're not going to have your character progress, then what's the point in continuing your show?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I do like the heartfelt moment in the Flashpoint comic, the final issue, when he has to stop himself. And it's like a kind of, it's a depressing, mm-hmm, it's a depressing mm-hmm, thing mm-hmm. to see, because it's like, you both want the same thing, but it's like, you know, you can't have it. And I would like to see something like that on the show, but we've had shows have moments, have this show have a lot of moments with a lot of heart, especially mm-hmm. in the season 1 finale when he has to talk to his mom.
Yeah,
really nice moment.
Yeah, cry every single time I watch it. But like, I would love to see that kind of moment on this show. I just don't know if we're going to get it.
Yeah.
So
agreed. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that has been our entire discussion about Flashpoint. Sam, will you please, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Drop by the Flash Museum. so will you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can support you, and where they can find your podcast as well?
Oh, very cool. Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at Sam Basher, SamBashor. Got to spell that right. I'm on Instagram too. But you can also watch me on SourceFed on YouTube and SourceFed Nerd. That's my main jam. But also listen to my podcast called Only Stupid Answers. We're on iTunes and SoundCloud and probably other stuff soon, but those are the main two.
And that's a really, really fun podcast. If you're looking for a weekly news geeky binge, it's all kind of, Ashley, you'd like that podcast.
Great.
Yeah.
Now I know. For the first time ever, now I know.
If you're looking for more Geek History Lesson, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And if you go over to iTunes, would you please leave us a review and a rating? Because it helps other listeners find the podcast just like you. And we got a really awesome review from Drama Queen 0207 on August 4th. 0208 was taken, apparently. And they say, I originally hated the idea of podcasts. I would rather watch a YouTube video, but after listening to the same songs on the radio all the time at work, I decided to give podcasts a try. My boyfriend suggested Geek History Lesson, and I fell in love. I was revisiting the world of superheroes, and this was a great way to learn about new heroes and my old favorites. I make note of the comics they recommend so that I have something to read once I finish my most recent comic, and I have even gone back and listened to their podcast multiple times. I listened to the Dick Grayson podcast 6 times and the Tim Drake podcast 5 times.
I like your taste.
Yeah, I like Mark Robbins. I would totally recommend this podcast. It is such high quality, and I have never been left bored or uninterested, and I have even grown to be interested in new characters after listening to this podcast. Check it out. You will not be disappointed.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's sweet. So nice.
That's such a very nice, that's a great thing. Like, that's what I want our podcast to do, is to teach people to, like, go check out, like we even hooked Sam up. He didn't know about the Batman Night of Vengeance, and he learned.
I got a new story that I love.
That's what it is. So go over iTunes, leave us a review, and we will read it on the show sometimes. And Ashley, if they want to suggest future events, we keep talking about crisis. Maybe we should do a crisis episode like this. Where can they do that, Ashley?
They can do that on Facebook.com/geekhistorylesson or geekhistorylesson.com. There's a bunch of different ways to contact us in both places.
Yes, and if you want to complain about our thoughts on Flashpoint at us on Twitter, you can find me at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, or Ashley at Ashley B. Robinson. And guys, go support the show on Patreon.com/Jawin, because there we do a exclusive podcast called Geek History Lesson Extra, and we're going to have more with Sam on this week's Geek History Lesson Extra. So that is it for Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Thanks for listening, you Flash friends.